Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Bob Thibodeau here. I want to thank you for joining us again today on the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today I have a very special friend of our ministry, Dr. Richard Ruling, coming back on in part two of our two-part interview. Now, if you missed the prior episode, oh man, I can't encourage you enough to go back and listen to that one, because we just don't have the time to go over all of the information Dr. Ruling was pouring into us in part one. But I can guarantee you this, part two is even better today. Glory to God. We are discussing end time scenarios as depicted in the Bible and then relating it to current events happening all around us. And to top even that, a timeline scenario of biblical dates relating to the Jewish calendar that are all pointing to one thing, the soon return of Jesus. And it is also tied to what is happening in the earth today. Glory to God. Shout amen, somebody, because the return of Jesus is even closer than anyone can imagine. Amen. All right, I'm getting excited because I know what we're going to cover today in part two. But if I keep talking, we'll never get to it. Amen. So let's just join part two of this great conversation with Dr. Richard Ruling.
Bad things were happening in sabbatical years, like 2001 World Trade Center. 7 years later was the stock market crash in 2008. 7 years later, all of those signs with the Pope's visit and the gay marriage and the Iran nuclear deal, you know. And then 7 years later, coming up in 2022, I don't know what it'll be. It'll be bad. Yeah. But the real big thing, I believe, will be the earthquake that initiates the end time last 7 years. In 2023. Yeah. And that is the knock of the bridegroom. And you're speaking of the wedding parables. In Luke 12, verse 36, for your audience, anybody wants to write this down, they can look it up later. But Luke, the wedding parables all give different insights to the wedding event of the Exodus. When God took his people to, they made a covenant, he later said, I'm married to you. And that's the idea of marriage. It's not a quick snatch to heaven where we're out of here. And, you know, if basically, if Christ came today or tomorrow, everybody in the world would raise their hand and say, I'm yours, I'm yours.
Yeah.
Well, how's he going to sort it out, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the end times will sort who's his and who's
amen.
Not.
Amen.
And it's not about just a claim, you know, as the Pope might make and as Biden might make, but ettery.
Amen. Yeah, because that's definitely going to be the separation of the goats and the sheep.
You know? Yes, over the end time period, and we will see it happen. But I'm wanting to look at that Luke's wedding parable because it is rich with meaning and rich with reward. Because in Luke 12:44 it says he will make for the servant who is so doing when he comes. Mm-hmm. He will make him ruler over all that he has.
Yeah.
Well, my name is Ruling. Wanted to understand that. I believe I do, you know, and I've looked at it, and I'm betting my life. Now, if you hear a better story, I want to hear from you.
Amen.
You know, because, you know, but I've shared this with lots of people, and, you know, it hangs together so far, and I'm, you know, I swear on the Bible, this is life and how to get there. In Luke 12:36, we're supposed to be ready that when he comes and knocks, we can open immediately. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord finds watching.
Mm-hmm.
It says he will gird himself and make him sit down to eat and serve him at that point. Well, the clues, three of them, point to Passover. What I just said about he will gird himself and make him sit down to eat and serve him, that's what the Lord did at Passover on the eve of his, you know, the Last Supper.
Yeah.
But also watching. Watching, the Greek word Gregorio means be awake, and Passover was the only time they were supposed to be awake. It was commanded at Passover in Exodus 12:10.
Yeah.
They were to eat the Passover and leave nothing till morning. They were awake that night on the eve of their liberation. And Christ himself said to his disciples, watch with me. Couldn't you watch 1 hour?
Yeah.
It means be awake. You know?
Yeah.
So now I've discovered that I'm like the disciples. If I try to pray very long, I fall asleep, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I've discovered how to do it. And it partly is a clue from when I was in college in choir tour. The guy that drove the choir bus could drive all the way from Washington, D.C. to Florida without sleeping by eating one peanut at a time. Hmm. It's sensory stimulation. If you're eating, and my point is, let's not eat peanuts, but eat the lamb. On the eve of Passover, Israel was to eat the lamb and leave nothing to mourning, but we can do it spiritually. I have a book called Desire of Ages. It's a book on the life of Christ. It was the most recommended in the Library of Congress. And I read a chapter and pray between chapters. Read another chapter, the Last Supper, Gethsemane, Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest, the judgment that Christ bore with them, and then before Pilate, and finally Calvary. If you read those chapters, you can stay awake. Read out loud, let someone else read a paragraph. You read a paragraph, share it around, pray at the end of the chapter. That's my idea, and by the way, the book is online. You can Google The Desire of Ages, find the PDF and look it up, or read the Bible. The Bible is kind of snatchy here and there, and it doesn't give the full picture that this Desire of Ages was most recommended in the Library of Congress for many years because of its rich insights. Anyway, so that's how I can stay awake, and I've done it with friends, inviting them to share the Passover and so on. So I'm seeing that, and that's the key to the idea is his knock is the earthquake, because the only other place where Christ knocks in Revelation 3:20, that lukewarm church ended in an earthquake. And it's not, we have sort of an evangelical idea about knock. Christ is always at the door of our hearts, right, knocking. Right. And that's a good meaning, and that's he wants to be part of all we do. But when he says open immediately, this is not gentle Jesus always knocking at the door, heart's door. This is the earthquake that initiates end times, yeah. In my opinion. So I could be wrong, but my favorite author who... wrote, and by the way, this book, Desire of Ages, makes this point that it's in the chapter on the Last Supper, second paragraph. It says, as he, Christ, ate the Passover with his disciples, he instituted in its place the service that was to be the memorial of his great sacrifice.
Amen.
And so in its place means a Passover. In other words, we don't have to kill lambs, all that. No bitter herbs.
Right.
This is not the Jewish ceremonies, but this is the Christian new covenant. This is my blood. This is my body, and so on. And a time of spiritual benefit, and then watch and pray that night,
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and when you're talking about the earthquakes and stuff, I don't know if you've seen the news. I didn't even see it on the news. I've seen it on a video on YouTube. Mount Vesuvius erupted in Italy this past week.
I didn't see it, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get it, too. I think that when Christ warned the goodman that if he had known when to watch, he would have watched, not suffered his house to be broken. I find help in interpreting goodman by the King James Bible. It's only one reference in the Old Testament to goodman. That word is only found once. It's in Proverbs 7, verse 19 and 20. A harlot is telling a simple guy, the goodman is gone on a long journey.
Right.
He's taken a bag of money, and he won't come home till the Yom Kesi, or full moon. Okay. So she was going to be unfaithful. But the point is, to the goodman. The goodman is married to this harlot.
Yeah.
Well, I think the harlot is Rome, in Revelation 17. And in 2008, the goodman, Benedict, took the long journey to Jerusalem. He entered the city at second Passover in May 12, something like that. I could be wrong on the date right now, but the point is that there is a provision in the Bible for Passover a month later.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 9/11 provision. Every American knows 9/11, but almost nobody knows Numbers 9 and 11. It's the book of Numbers. Okay. And it provides for Passover a month later if you're in a far journey. Israelites didn't travel in the winter, but if they took a long journey in the spring and they couldn't get back in time, they were to keep it a month later. In other words, Passover was symbolizing judgment, and you're not excused from judgment. You got to face it. So no excuse. But Christ was cluing several times. Actually, let me explain this. In the middle of Matthew 24 is the second coming in verse 30. He comes in power and glory. And then there's a second coming in Matthew 25, also in the middle of the chapter. He comes in power and glory. And in between are seven mini parables, and they all support the idea of Passover 1 month later, as in the days of Noah. The flood came with Passover timing, and you can look it up in Genesis 7th chapter, verse 4 and 11. Noah entered the ark on the 10th day, the same day that the Passover lamb was supposed to be selected later. It was when God, in Exodus 12, verse 3, he says, on the 10th day you set apart a lamb for a sacrifice. Well, in the Noah's time, people, when they didn't enter the ark, they were selecting themselves for sacrifice.
That's right. You know? Amen.
And it says in verse 11, it says it was in the second month when the flood came, in the 17th day, a month later. But it was during Passover week. And the point is that all of those many parables, just like the goodman, if the goodman had known he would have watched, not suffered his house, he was on the long journey. And so it was second time for him. And he, by the way, lost his popeship. I don't know if it was because of that trip or not, but it's interesting his house was broken.
Yeah.
And then, I saw this, but I didn't know the meaning at the time. It's only in retrospect you look back sometimes and you see, oh, that's really significant.
Yeah.
And the idea is that when Christ, you mentioned the 10 virgins, and yes, coming to that parable, when five missed the wedding, he said, watch, which means be awake, you don't understand. And that's the translation is bad to say you don't know, because everybody, the Catholic translation is, you don't know, nobody will ever know, it's just pie in the sky, whenever. But Christ said he won't, the Bible, he won't do anything without revealing it in Amos 3:7.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. Well, wisdom is the key difference between the wise and foolish.
Yeah.
Wisdom, they were better prepared, and I think it involves, if it's teach us to number our days, we need to know when, you know, and be there for him. You know, it's kind of like the Super Bowl that you mentioned. To catch this pass in the end zone is key, and the timing has to be right.
Yeah.
You know, so
right.
I believe that there are clues to know, and it's, I'm not just giving in to won't know, never know, can't know. But and then he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. That's it's not just changing the subject to that last parable about the man who gives, you know, five talents to one, three talents to another, one talent to somebody. But he begins it with, you don't understand, because it's like a man traveling to a far country. And he gives five talents and so on. But the reason for them not understanding is the far journey. And that's the provision for second Passover.
Mm. Amen.
A month later.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, help to understand how we can be there. And I believe the first Passover in 2023 will be the Muslims taking Jerusalem.
Mm.
And they will be joyous for a brief time. But when second Passover comes, I believe it's Joel 3:16. It says, the Lord will roar from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake. They will be at the center of a major earthquake that shakes the whole world.
Wow.
And they will get out of there.
Yeah, amen, amen. That's, wow. Yeah, and you know, there's so much happening all around us right now. I mean, you know, you got the pestilence, you know, the COVID thing going on. You know, then
right.
the you know, quote-unquote stolen election, and then you got the Capitol riots. You know, I mean, first time since what, the British burned the Capitol at, you know, the Capitol building
being
attacked or something like that. I mean, you know, all these things are occurring. I can't say simultaneously because they're not happening on the same day, but you know,
within the same year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but we're almost numb to it, and we think, oh, what's the and they look for a better year, and so well, it's not going to get better. I don't think. Yeah. I think that we're in for deepening of the deep state, and which to me, it's been coming a long time. But I think for 200 years, Georgetown University, which is a Jesuit university, has been filling the D.C. offices with their graduates, the Pentagon and so on. And so when the Pentagon and the Homeland Security, which, by the way, a nun who was raped called it Romeland Security, you know, and the leaders of CIA, which has been called Catholic Intelligence Agency, they all have to be members of the secret society, you know, Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta, Opus Dei. And when John F. Kennedy spoke out against secret societies, he said it's a repugnant idea in a free society. He was dead a week later.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
So I just say, hey, it's time to look at the issues. The Jesuits' oath to be willing to kill and stab and hang and so on, heretics, under the circumstances, I believe we're coming to that time when the laws will support there. But we don't have those laws yet, and it's I don't want to go in the direction of UN, and we're all the Catholic countries will vote the Pope's policy, and he'll be leader of the world.
Yeah.
And it will things are going to tighten up bad then when you can't buy or sell without false stuff. You know.
Well, not just that. Look at it as the attack on Christian values and conservative values and all that stuff right now. I mean, and nobody's, I mean, you get the pockets of, you know, senators and stuff that are speaking out against it, but, you know, the media is all behind it. The big tech companies are all behind it. They're shutting down anything at all that says anything against what they're doing right now.
Exactly. Well, I'm so thankful for you that you see this and, you know, in the multitude of, you know, hear a witness, there a witness. I just say, let everybody that hears this start sharing what they know. Because in the wedding parable, two of the wedding parables imply have lights burning.
Yeah.
The wise virgins have lights to see, and in Luke 12 it says, have your lights burning. But in the wedding parable of Matthew 22, it doesn't have lights burning, but the king sends his servants to bid people to the marriage. So that's the same idea. Share it. If we wait till the event happens, everything is going to be happening too fast. We need to be sharing like you are now. Get ready, study. As Abraham Lincoln said, I'll study and get ready. Someday my chance will come.
Yeah.
So I think we need to get to reading, you know. While I'm thinking of that, let me just say this, appropriate time. I have a website, and you mentioned a book that is my latest, but I want to mention a book that I wrote 25 years ago titled The Fall of America.
I read that
and
book.
I believe...
You sent it to me.
You did read it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if I'd sent it to you or not, but... It's not as easy reading, but it does have interesting information, and it has topics in it that I think we do need for the wedding. Let me explain. I believe that we make a covenant. The covenant is the marriage. Okay, when Israel made a covenant with God, he later said, "I'm married to you," and the covenant is based on sevens in the Bible, like Abraham gave Abimelech seven ewe lambs to make a covenant. He wanted a water well. And God, when he wanted a covenant with Abraham, he seven times promised him that land in the Middle East. And when God made a covenant with Israel, he gave them seven annual holy convocations. In other words, like Passover, like Pentecost, like Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, so on. Those days were seven of them. And my point is, if we want, and it was the proactive person that wanted the deal that had to give the sevens. When God wanted the covenant with Abraham, he seven times promised, and as a burning lamp, he went between the sacrifice. Well, he tells us to have our lamps burning, Christ does, so it means you be proactive. And so we have to give seven of something, and I believe it's the topics that God wants restored. Like, you know, it says in Matthew 17th chapter, verse 11, that before he comes, before Christ comes, Elijah must first come and restore all things. Mm-hmm. Well, my issue is what, and I've asked people who think they're the Elijah, you know, preachers and so on. Some sound like Elijah, preach pretty good, but what are the seven things? What are the things that Elijah must restore? What are all things that Elijah must restore? Well, in Malachi 4th chapter, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Remember the law of Moses with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah." So the statutes and judgments clearly are one of the things that Elijah is going to restore. And in Ezekiel 20th chapter, verse 11 to 24, it has them seven times. Mm. It's statutes, judgments, Sabbath, statutes, judgments, Sabbath, statutes, judgments, Sabbath. Seven times it mentions the statutes and judgments. And so my point is, things that have a sevenfold emphasis are needing to be restored by Elijah, and they are also a mark of end-time truth in a revelation, because there are seven churches, seven seals, yeah, seven thunders, seven trumpets, and so on. Mm-hmm. The seven is a mark of end-time truth. So my point is that when you see something seven times emphasized, it's one of those topics. Mm. And my book, Fall of America, has them, the seven topics that we need in order to understand and make a covenant. It's in there for better understanding, and so I just throw that out there. And people can go, if they're interested, they go to the website thefallofamerica.blog.com. I couldn't get that one, but anyway, .blog will get it to you. And it has a DVD that is excellent on health. Most people will spend $10 for a meal easily, mm-hmm, and this DVD is on Amazon for $10 plus $4 shipping. But for the same price, a donation to my thing, I will give you not only the DVD, but the book, okay? And a bonus book, What's Behind the New World Order. I have three things you get for a $10 donation and $4 to ship it. So if they go there, they got, I think, and I was going to say, people will spend $10 for a meal, but this is a meal for your mind, several ways, you know. So anyway, something they can do if they
want. Thefallofamerica.blog.
Correct.
Okay.
And they get a DVD. Did I send you a DVD?
Yep. Amen.
Okay, good. Okay.
You sent me the whole package.
Excellent.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, it's that DVD shows how to reverse heart disease, mm-hmm, diabetes. Most health conditions are reversible because, you know, think about it this way. We came into life normal, 6 or 8 pounds, maybe 10, who knows? but in 20, 40, or 60 years, we suddenly have problems, you know. Yeah. And we did it to ourselves by what we put in our mouth. The mouth is the common pathway to evil. It not only what you put in your mouth, but what comes out can be evil.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You know, we will be judged by some of that stuff, you know. So it's, but what you put into your mouth is the key to health if you eat it right. I believe the food that God made and made for food in Genesis 1, he says every herb-bearing seed, you know, the seeds are good. You know, they have, mm-hmm, stuff in them that you won't get from the beefsteak, you know.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
I grew up frying my own hamburgers and frying my eggs and so on, loving to finish off the ice cream on Saturday night when we watched wrestling and all that. But so thankful I changed my lifestyle when I was in college, and I changed fully, completely, so that now I'm 79 and in great health, and I don't have anything coming for me that I can see, and I know my body pretty well, and I have to wear glasses, and I have to get up at night to go to the bathroom. But aside from those two problems, I haven't had a prescription, by the way, in about 30 years, over 30, actually. Yeah. I was on a trip and got gastrointestinal disease, didn't want to stop at every gas station, so I wrote myself a prescription and stopped the diarrhea. But aside from that, I say how we eat is the key to what makes your body what it is.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Rilley, how can someone get in touch with you? I know you gave the website okay. for the Fall of America.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Not only the website, but my email is ruling, R-U-H-L-I-N-G, 7 at juno.com, J-U-N-O.com. Hey, I'm doing tomorrow free conference call. If they were to... I have a channel on YouTube called Total Health YouTube, and I'll be discussing these things tomorrow afternoon. And if they have a comment or question, they can speak up. It's at the if they go to Richard Ruling Total Health YouTube, they can see the Total Health channel. Why they can see my most recent video, and I'll be discussing it, actually. It's Time of Judgment, and it's 25 minutes, but mm-hmm. we've covered a lot of this stuff today, and thank you Amen. For, you've been gracious.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I'll put the link to the YouTube channel in the show notes as well.
Okay, yeah. I'll send it to you so okay. that they can do this for future, and because okay. it's yeah. not just tomorrow, it's every Saturday afternoon that I'm on, and I'm discussing okay. a video of the week type of thing. So thank amen. You for doing that.
Yeah, amen, because yeah, like I said, the time between this recording and when it's actually going to go publish is going to be a little bit. So you know, but this way they can have the link so they can go view the videos and then catch up on the new ones. Amen.
Very good. Very Amen. Good. Thank you so much. Amen. I appreciate you, Robert.
Amen. I appreciate your
may
time.
May Heavenly Father bless you.
Amen. Folks, as I said at the beginning, you know, Dr. Ruling is a trusted source when it comes to being healthy in this environment in which we find ourselves today, and he's definitely a trusted visionary, and I always learn a lot as he interprets current events that you see happening in the news right around you with biblical prophecy. And from what you heard today, now you know what I'm talking about, right? Amen. So get in touch with Dr. Ruling right now, today. Go down into the show notes, order his book. It will bless you. I've read it, and it may save your life. You know, I'm going to put the link to the healthyhappinessdestiny.com down there as well, Dr. Ruling, so they can take a look at that book and order that, because it will bless you. It may save your life. It may save someone you love their life. So just use the links Amen. Down below. Get in touch with them. And Dr. Ruling, thank you again for coming on the program today. I do appreciate your time.
Bob, you made my day. God bless you. I may he continue to do it daily. Let's claim the promise of Ephesians 3:20 that Amen. God will do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think for
Amen.
His sake.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Dr. Richard Ruling and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.